Good evening. It's your girl, Claudia Jordan. We're here to spill the tea and break down the biggest headlines in the news and on social media. So sit back, relax, and get ready to sip this hot tea. This is TGIF. Please welcome Al Reynolds. What's up, Al?
I barely made it here, Claudia, but I'm here, baby.
I mean, we got to have other jobs here. You know what I'm saying? Can we get back in studio, get that studio money, and please welcome Armand Wiggins. What's up, Armand?
What's going on, guys? How are you guys doing today?
Good. Just trying to make these
Good,
shows
good.
happen every day. Okay. Anyone drinking today? We should be drinking.
I'm taking my medicine. I need something stronger than alcohol, Claudia, today.
I was logged in like 30 minutes before everybody, and I still got checked. Listen, we all put on a good show today, because when these shows start up like this, it usually ends up great. So I'm just going to be positive. Okay. Armand, are you drinking?
I'm doing a little Gatorade today. I'm trying to get my electrolytes in.
Oh, that's another time, Al.
Right.
Pattern. I don't know about this pattern here. All right. Well, maybe next week. Okay. Listen, let's get into the show. We have a lot to talk about. In honor of Women's History Month, we are going to highlight some amazingly talented sisters who are dominating the country music world. Now, yes, Beyonce is making history after hitting the number one spot on the Hot Country Songs chart, but let's pay homage to artists like Reese Palmer, Tiara Kennedy, Miko Marks, Madeline Edwards, and Kay Michelle, who have been making space for Black women in country music for years. What are your thoughts on these talented women? Al, what do you think about this?
You know, I grew up in the South. I grew up in Virginia. My dad's favorite genre is country music. And I have always had an affinity for country music. These women have, like you said, have been making noise in the industry for a long time. Kay Michelle, new to this group compared to who I'm used to listening to. But how amazing it is to have someone like Beyonce lift these ladies, especially during Women's History Month, with all their sales. I understand, and if you read the rags, they're saying that women and men in country music, all of their sales across the board has increased. And we know the pay disparity for them as it relates to mainstream music. Our congratulations to all of these wonderful women. Congratulations to Beyonce for being the leader and the influencer in this space. And it just warms my heart to finally see them all get their flowers.
All right. Armand, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think this is great. As someone who doesn't really listen to country music, I feel like now with Beyonce doing what she has done, now it's opening my eyes to be more, you know, open and available to, you know, listen to some of these artists. So I'm excited to see what they have in store. And it's a good look for everybody. So I'm excited for this era.
Although it probably is frustrating for some of the other artists that have been doing it, and then Beyonce comes along and blows the lid off, it still is important. Like, you go, all you ladies were valuable in this mission and getting the eyeballs on country music. It's just that Beyonce is such a huge following that it just kind of kicked the lid off everything. But it does benefit all of you, so I'm super glad. Hopefully we can see some collabs in the future with some of y'all. I think that would be awesome. And keep making those racist people that run these radio stations mad, because they cannot deny your impact. And people are requesting the songs. Sorry, we're infiltrating that as well. Actually,
you know, Claudia, you're the one that blew the whistle on this after reading about it. And can you imagine if they're not playing Beyonce's country music on their radio station? Can you imagine what these women who have been in the genre for so long have been going through? So you're right. Even though it's hard, you know, because they've been doing it for a long time, I'm sure the whistle being blown is helping them as well, finally getting their turns on the radio stations.
And another genre that we all, Black people, were a part of creating. Like, let's not get it twisted. They like to make us think that they created rock and roll and country. Not true. Sorry. Okay, moving on. Speaking of country, a few of your favorite celebrities like Dwayne Wade, Gunna, Tyla, and Winnie Harlow posed for GQ's Denim's New Age photo shoot. Do you think we're stepping into a country-themed phase now that Beyonce is starting the conversations around that genre? Armand, what do you think?
Absolutely. It was like, I even remember during like the Renaissance era when she was going on tour, like every store had like platinum, silver, glittery, shiny stuff. So I feel like Beyonce literally you know, is a cultural reset. Like, she literally pushes the culture forward, fashion, musically, everything. So I do feel like we're going to start seeing a lot of country inspired things because Beyonce is burning down these doors. So I'm excited for it. And one thing I think that's super, super dope about this whole thing is the fact that, you know, we are literally taking over what is ours and infiltrating those spaces, like you said, Claudia. And, you know, I think people are uncomfortable, but for a long time, we have to sit back and watch, like, white people take, you know, infiltrate our spaces, you know, Latinos infiltrate our hip hop spaces and get recognized for it and celebrated for it. So now it's great that, you know, we're infiltrating those spaces and making it our own or taking it back, if you will.
Absolutely. Al, what do you think?
Well, you know, it is the theme of 2024 fashion. It is the theme of 2024 fashion. So it's not just Beyonce, but I do see that she is, you know, bringing the denim forward. You know, a lot of designers are just saying that the denim, you know, the dark denim and the black denim is just a very versatile color for the seasons. And we've seen it across all the fashion markets in Milan, in the United States, etc. The good thing that I loved about this, though, was I loved how GQ is getting behind a South African artist, Tyler, and she's a pop star. And you've never really seen mainstream media, especially mainstream U.S. media, get behind South African artists like this. I thought this is a coup for her. I can't wait to hear her music and see the splash that she makes on music in the United States. And I'm here for it. I just want to give a shout out for GQ for drawing outside the lines, because they are usually the ones that will do that. And I appreciate them supporting our South African sister.
That's right. All right. Shout out to GQ Magazine. In other news, an alleged millionaire is opening up about living below his means in a new TikTok trend. Take a look.
I'm a millionaire. Of course I drove a Chevy Cruze to the club every weekend for 5 years straight. I'm a millionaire. Of course I don't shop at Neiman Marcus and Saks Fifth Avenue. I'm okay with shopping at Zara and H&M. I'm a millionaire. Of course I got a high-yield savings account. I know better than to leave my money at Chase, Wells Fargo, or Bank of America.
All right. Can you blame him? How do you live under your means? Al, what do you think about this?
I don't have a car. That's one of the ways that I live underneath my means. I try to take catch rides or take Uber or even the train. I'm not afraid of public transportation. I think it's imperative. I'm like Claudia. I have had it all, lost it, built it back. And when you build it back, the lessons just become harder and you become smarter. So in order to live by your means, you're able to storm the weather if something was to happen and then you have a setback. What I really thought was interesting about this young man's post was in the comments, you don't see anyone praising him. You don't see anyone trying to holler at him. But, you know, usually when women see a post of somebody winning a lottery or learning that somebody's a millionaire or a billionaire post or a millionaire post, you see holler at me, get at me, pick me, let's go on a date. I thought it was very odd that no one wanted to go on a date with someone who is very conservative with their money. This leads to a bigger discussion and what's really going on in our community, which is we're all out living outside our means and we only want to be with people that look like they have money instead of people that have it and don't look like it.
Okay. Maybe they don't believe him because he does give Dusty a little bit. But okay, you're right. Armand, what do you think?
I don't know. Look, I'm not a millionaire. So maybe whatever he's doing, you know, it's working for him. But the thing is, I get caught in the middle because I feel like, why does it have to be like, if you like nice things, like you're living above your means, or, you know, you're broke, or, you know, some people, you know, they work hard and they might want to go buy some, you know, Bond number 9 cologne from Saks Fifth Avenue. Maybe they don't want to go buy cologne from Zara or something like that. So why is that a bad thing? So for me, I don't know. I feel like, you know, if that's your choice, that's your choice. But, you know, I like my nice car. I like where I live. You know what I mean? So and I don't have to be a millionaire, but like I like my lifestyle and I work hard to maintain what I got.
Yeah, I think this is maybe for extreme cases, right? Because if you're working hard enough where you can afford those things, it doesn't hurt you, then that's great. That's kind of what you're supposed to be. We work to not just have money in the bank, right? We work to actually enjoy some of the money that we spend. I think this, for me, when I see people that like are living like several roommates and have like, you know, they're really struggling with their housing, but they have the Gucci and the Louis and the name brands and they're flaunting that, but you have like, you know, $1,200 in your account and that's it. and you don't really know if you don't have a couple months worth of, you know, you should have some money saved up for a rainy day or if you thing hit the fan. I've had shows canceled with no notice where I was really like shocked. And now I do have nice things. I have two very nice cars. I have the house and all that, but I also work extremely hard. And I also have a large chunk in investments and I also have money in the bank. So I think like, you know, I remember when I was check to check, they'd be crazy of me to go buy some designer stuff. But if you're not living like that, I think you should be able to enjoy some of your money. But there is an argument to be made. There are a lot of people that are living above their means for the gram. I think the gram has really messed up people. Mm-hmm. Don't you think? People are living for the gram like, oh, I already wore this on the gram. Like the gram is a red carpet. It's not. It's not a red carpet. Relax. All right, keep it locked because coming up next, Charleston White is back on his snitching game. And later, we have your tea fact of the day. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. All right, y'all. Charleston White is calling out Boosie after he allegedly threatened a promoter to cancel his show. Check this out.
I'm a boy. You making threats to the promoter? I got a recorded phone conversation with witnesses on the phone saying the promoter is scared for his life that he got the rule that Boosie go send them people to get you. He said he can't have the show because Boosie go. I said, hire the police. The promoter scary.
This is so ghetto.
I literally was about to say that.
It's so ghetto.
It's so ghetto. It's stupid. It's so ghetto.
Can we just say that? It's ghetto as hell.
It's ghetto. I literally was about to say that. I literally was going to say that.
Uh-huh. Al, what do you think? Is this ghetto? It's ghetto.
Listen, this is the first time I actually liked it. I liked watching a toxic masculine male call out Boosie. How do you say his name? Am I saying it right? Everybody
Boosie.
Can say it.
Boosie.
Boosie,
Boosie.
Who is another toxic masculine guy. And it's been 24 hours, almost what, 36 hours. And Boosie has not responded. Aren't y'all like wondering why hasn't he responded? Now, listen, if it was Lil Nas X, if it was anything about
BK, Madison,
if it was anything about any of that, he would have been called somebody on the paint. He would have been in that response. He would have responded like within hours. I just find it very, very interesting. Very interesting that he's a little bit closed mouth on this particular situation. So where you at, Boosie?
You know that I like that because, you know, I think that's very interesting because they get real quiet, but they when it's another man, but when it's like a gay person or a trans person, they go in. You know what I mean? But I think that's because they get the most support in the comments when they go in on the gays. Mm. Because now in this instance, you know, Charleston White, he has a lot of troll fans. Boosie probably has a lot of troll fans. So it's kind of like he's probably not going to get that same amount of support and love because a lot of people like Charleston White. He's a crash out, but so is Boosie. So I don't know. I just think that sometimes it's easier for, you know, those kind of toxic men to go in on trans and gay people. They get a lot of backing when they do that.
Mm-hmm. This story has just way too much Mad Dog 2020 and Black and Miles on it for me. It is just way too ghetto. And can we talk about politics? Both of these guys get in the ring, fight, do a celebrity boxing match for someone's liver, a fundraiser, because I know both y'all's livers is trash. I am tired, but we'll see what happens if someone responds or what happens. But only thing with these two, I will say this, there could be some like casualties here because sometimes, you know, they don't know when to stop and they might want to like buck up. But I don't know. I kind of don't care because like I said, this is just way too much Mad Dog 2020 on it for me. I'm moving on. An Oregon man, Jimmy Liu, has been arrested after he allegedly grabbed the feet of two different women and rubbed them on his face. The incidents took place after the women went to Jimmy Liu's house on two different occasions to interview for a housekeeping position that he had posted on Craigslist. One of the victims mentioned that he allegedly grabbed her bare feet and started rubbing them on his face. What are your thoughts on this twisted fantasy? And have you guys ever been sexually coerced during a job interview? And can I just say, we don't really cover a lot of Asian crime on this show. So is this a first here at TGIF after 4 years? We are equal opportunity reporters here. Go ahead, Armand. What do you think about this? About the feet on the face? You hear?
I don't know. I was kind of gagging. First of all, I didn't even realize people still use Craigslist. I haven't used Craigslist in like years. So I don't know if I would even go get my cleaning services off of Craigslist at the any point anymore, because there are so many different apps now where you can, you know, people are vetted and, you know, you can track and trace people, and you can even trace like the people that are, you know, looking to hire. So I don't know. Craigslist shopping, I wouldn't do. This is extremely creepy and uncomfortable, and it's a little weird. So yeah, I'm not okay with it. And I've never been coerced for services during work. No.
Isn't Craigslist known more now? Like, it used to be a thing back then, but is it now more like a, like, back page? Like, it's more for,
that's
like,
what I know feel like. Yeah, that's what you expect, right? When you go on Craigslist, putting up an ad for a cleaner, you're probably looking for like a freaky, kinky cleaner. In my opinion.
Al, what do you think about this?
Okay, two things. I'm going to answer the first question. Have I ever been coerced at a job interview? I haven't been coerced at a job interview, but what I have been a victim of is I do get people who are interviewing me, because I wear a suit and, you know, my suits are usually tighter. I do get people interviewing me staring at my crotch. And I do have to say that is kind of creepy, and it feels like sexual harassment. And I'm sure I'm not the only guy that gets this. And I wonder why us as men, we don't discuss that, because it happens quite frequently. And you can always tell when they're intrigued by what they see, because just they become more happier when they're interviewing you.
Al, like they say to women, what were you expecting? You put it out there.
Like, my whole thing is,
well, I guess we got something.
You were dressed like a slut.
But this is the deal, and I'm not,
you
please.
Pull it back and tuck it.
Well, the deal is this. I understand for women who wear low cut stuff, but I'm like fully covered here. So I just want to throw that out there. Now, number two, as we relate to the discussion here, I think this was a setup. I think he's been on Craigslist since 2017. There's been a number of women that have probably told on him. And I think these were undercover officers, because both of the ladies, read the stories, both of the ladies showed up without socks on their feet. And one lady showed up with sandals, and they showed up within short times of each other. I think he was set up, and I think he finally got caught for something that he's probably been doing now for over 6 or 7 years.
Oh, so gross. Being coerced on a job, yes. I definitely shared my story, and I've talked about it many times, about Steven Seagal with the movie audition that he had at his house, and then he locked the doors and I had to escape. That was one. Another time, a director shut the door and asked me to take my top off because the role was going to be semi-nude. I go, well, I could just do it on set if I got it. And he's like, well, I just want you to be, you know, when you get the job, I don't want to sit there and have to coerce you out the goddamn trailer, and I need to know that you can just be about it. I was like, oh, I don't think this is for me. And I had to unlock the door to get out. Yeah, it happens all the time. But this right here, if he was set up, I mean, I don't know. I feel like this is a lot of sexual deviancy in positions of power. And I wish it would stop. It gives me, you weren't getting done in high school. So now that you got the opportunity, you're making everyone pay, and you're going to put people in uncomfortable positions and hold dangle things over their head that they need. And I think that's really horrible.
Have you ever had that issue, Armand? Or have you ever thought about it?
No, I kind of haven't had that issue, or maybe if I do some deep thought, maybe I could see, but I don't know. No one has ever tried me like that, but I'm just very vocal. And so no one's ever tried me like that.
It catches you off guard, especially if you really want the job. It definitely catches you off guard, where you're like, wait, what? And then you start thinking, does everybody else do it this way?
Well, you probably haven't had, you're probably not a corporate guy either, right? So you're not dressing up in suits going to interviews on a regular. So
no.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you meant the tight suit thing.
But still in entertainment, like, you got to think, people see me as a YouTuber or a person trying to come up. So, you know, celebrities and people try to dangle opportunities above your head all the time. And listen, we're in LA where, you know, majority of these guys in power are gay. So, you know, but they don't really try me like that. But people would assume, I feel like, you know, hey, what would you do to get this opportunity? You know, you want to do this and I could change your life. But see, for me, I'm not really that interested in having it. Like, I'm not that thirsty for it. Like, I'll be like, you know what? I'm cool. I'll do my own thing.
So do you have to be attracted to the person that's dangling the opportunity, or what would be your threshold of, you know?
I don't know. I wouldn't let anybody do that to me, just because first of all, I don't like anybody dangling anything over my head. You know what I'm saying? I just don't like that feeling in general. So I don't know. I've never been in that situation. I could just be honest. I never have. I don't think I ever will, because I just let you know, I don't want it. And I think that's the beauty for me. Honestly, I keep talking about this, but that's just the beauty of like building your own platform. Because at the end of the day, You can give me the opportunity or you cannot, girl. I'm moving on.
Gotcha.
And you know gotta what be I mean? Careful at these parties and watch your drink because they will put drugs in your drink. They'll do all kinds of wicked stuff. I'm gonna write this book. If something happens to me, I disappear. It's because I talked about the book I'm about to write.
But can we say this real quick? On the flip side now, and I feel like this can happen to all of us. What I feel like I have to watch though now is like the people that try to come on to me, because now it's like people try to come into your space and want to be all over you, and not for opportunities, but because of who you are, hoping that you can give them an opportunity. And then if something doesn't go right, then all of a sudden you made them feel uncomfortable. You know
you
what I mean?
That's the effects of TGIF, buddy.
Yeah. So that's what I've been watching now. Like, okay, why are you trying to get close to me?
Kyle, we don't have enough time for that topic.
He was all the rage. He was all the rage Sunday night, baby. Everybody was all over our minds.
You saw that now.
Everybody was all over.
All right, disclaimer alert. Soulmates, this next story is a bit gruesome. So a Florida man recently had 150 live bugs pulled from his nose. Yeah. According to the doctor, the bugs were right up against his skull base underneath his brain. And if they would have gone through, the man would have been dead. Now, the boogie nose man revealed that he enjoys fishing and may have contracted the bugs due to not cleaning his hands after touching the fish. What are your thoughts on this sick story? Who would like to go first on this one?
I'll take it. You know, this was crazy, but I got to be honest with you. It's not uncommon, especially people who live in indigenous areas and people who live in, you know, very trashy and bug infested environments, especially if you sleep on the floor. Doctors in healthcare, public health organizations said that the most common thing that they pull out of little kids' nose and ears are cockroaches and flies.
That's so disgusting.
Isn't that crazy?
But I don't, even if you're not sleeping on the floor, I think the problem is this guy was like playing with dead fish and stuff and not washing his hands. Like, why don't people wash their hands?
You ever go in the bathroom in the airport and see how many people just go in and come out? I notice I'm always like, like it's very, very common. Ugh. Okay. What I don't get with these stories, right? Okay. Maybe one cockroach or one little maggot can get in your ear, your nose. One, people, 500 of them? Like, when was the breaking point for you? Like, you know what? I should probably go get this checked out. Because I'm sure there was other signs. You felt things. You felt. Why do you wait so long?
Because he's probably living in a filth, to Al's point. That house is probably so nasty. You probably don't think nothing of it. Think nothing about it. You probably clean that house and find all kind of dead stuff in that house.
We're going to move on because I'm about to throw up. Keep it locked because coming up next, we have your tea fact of the day. And later, find out what we would do in sticky situations. We'll be right back. Wash your hands, please. Welcome back to TGIF. All right, y'all, we can all agree that social media tends to resurface some of the most random facts in pop culture history. So it's only fair that we unpack those facts and our tea facts of the day. All right, do y'all remember Chaka Khan's hit song, I'm Every Woman? Of course, right? Like, huge song. Okay. Although the song went on to become a women's anthem decades later, Chaka revealed that she wasn't feeling the song at first. The powerhouse singer told Jennifer Hudson, "It took me a long, long time to feel some kind of comfort singing I'm Every Woman. I was literally, which is wrong. I was reading it from an insecure place." Wow. What are your thoughts on Chaka Khan revealing this information that she was coming from an insecure place? Al, what do you think?
Well, you know, it made sense because it wasn't written by a man. It wasn't written by a woman. It was written by a man, Nick and At. What is it? Nick and
Nick and Ashford
Simpson are who wrote that. And back then they wrote all the hits, but this was one of Nick's. And you know, Nick is just a, God, just a genius. And for Armand, who I know you're looking like, who the hell are they?
No, I know Chaka Khan. Don't play with me. I know
that's Chaka Khan. Nick and Ashford Simpson.
I probably not know him.
No, Nick and Valerie Simpson. Yeah,
you don't know him either.
Yeah. Oh, no, they used to have the parties back in the day. You used to go to their parties. They had Sugar Bar. Claudia's been there a couple of times. They used live music. They really influenced our generation. They wrote a lot of the hits during our generation. And they were just a lovely couple, and they were musical genius. So I totally get Chaka Khan not feeling it at first. But thank goodness she felt it, because that song, when it comes on, I don't care what culture you come from, what genre you like, you're going to get up and you're going to dance.
Now, the song was written by Nicholas Ashford and Valerie Simpson, who wrote Motown's hit song Ain't No Mountain High Enough, another big hit. And Whitney Houston released her version of I'm Every Woman in 1992. What do you think about this, Armand?
I think that she probably was, you know, didn't understand who she really was, didn't really understand her true power in that moment. I think it probably took time to grow on her. And as the song got bigger and blew up, she realized, you know what, this is fitting for who I am. And I think that, you know, sometimes the women, they go through those, you know, insecurities where they don't feel like they're good enough. They don't feel like they're great enough. And so perhaps maybe she was, you know, battling in her mind that, you know, she was who she was. So I don't know. I'm glad that she kind of finally realized that, and it kind of set well with her.
I think it's so interesting, and I hope someone does like a piece on this story alone, this aspect of the business. A lot of the biggest hits that we know artists for, a lot of the artists did not like that, did not want that to be their single to be released. Like, I find that to be pretty common. Like, the song we know them the most for is the one that they were like, no, and then they trusted someone and that knew, and they hit pay dirt. All right, let's get back to some topics. Speaking of Whitney Houston, I find it hard to believe that children are our future that the children are our future, after it was reported that an 11-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 16-year-old were arrested by the FBI for robbing a Wells Fargo bank in Houston. We're about to have to do What the Texas soon, because Texas has been messing up lately. What are your thoughts on the story, Armand? These little kids, this is closer to your generation than ours, so this is your...
Honestly, it's either two things for me. It's either A, like... the video game, social media, Grand Theft Auto culture has completely taken over, and these parents are not in the household and don't give a darn. Or the parents set this up because the charges will be lesser on the kids. You know, I see a lot of times now, parents are sending their kids out to do the dirty work, and it's unfortunate. So this could be a situation where they had some trash parents and they sent them out to rob this bank.
So these are the same kind of parents that put the bills, the gas bill, and the kids' names and the cable and all that.
Well, yeah, even around here, around town, I mean, you see the little girls coming around trying to sell you stuff for, you know, their basketball game or their summer camp. And it's like, you're not going to school. Then the mom walking by looking sketchy. You know what I mean? Just ready to collect the money. It's so sad. But yeah, I feel like the parents put them up to this, honestly.
Al, what do you think? Parents?
The parents put them up to this. Okay. Good, maybe. But in this particular case, two parents are the ones that rang the whistle on the kids, because they saw it on the news. And two of the parents was like, those are my kids. And so they went and told on them. And that's how the kids were wrangled. It's so interesting to me, because it appears that these kids are so bad that these parents have such no control over them, right? They have no control over these kids. So they would rather, instead of deal with the kids, they would rather just go straight to law enforcement and let law enforcement deal with their unruly kids. I find that very sad. And I still believe that when situations like this happen, the parents should have some type of responsibility into it as well.
So it turns out that Whitney Houston song, The Children Are the Future,
it may not be so much.
Because when people be like, oh, kids are the most beautiful blessings I ever had, I'm like, really? Because there's a lot of little bratty little kids like this. I don't know. I would hate it if I did my best as a parent to be a good parent. And then at the end of the day, you still have some bad old kids like this over here robbing Wells Fargo when Wells Fargo is busy robbing us, allegedly. I'm just saying.
Now, what would you do? What would you do if you saw your kids? Would you turn them in, Claudia?
Yeah. Is there a reward? Yeah,
would you turn your kids in, Armand?
I would definitely turn them in, because at this point, if they are so bold enough at 11 and 12 and 16 to go rob a bank, clearly they've been doing other things and they have not been listening to me. So they need to go to jail at this point, because if the discipline I'm giving them is not
working. It's not working.
It's not working.
Yeah.
I don't think
I was thinking the same thing.
Especially if they're like repeat offenders and they just keep on not listening. You've done your best as a parent. It's one thing if you feel like I haven't been the best parent. Okay, you can take some of that. But if you feel like you have and you've done everything possible and these kids just don't want to listen, because there are some bad kids out there that just, it's not always the parent's fault. Usually it is, though, but it's not always 100% the parent's fault. All right. That's why none of us on this panel got kids, and it is, do not feel sorry for us.
But maybe sometimes you can, like, maybe you can try to scare the kids. Cause I know my brother, what him and his wife did to my nephew, cause he was acting up. They called the police, cause he stole like a Butterfinger out of the store. So she called the police and, you know, made the police take him to the jail, like he was going to go to jail. And he was like scared straight. You know what I mean? Like, you'll get locked up. So they do little things like that. You know, maybe those things can kind of help, but if not, then you kind of have to let the kid go.
Well, they probably should have started with the Butterfinger on these guys. They are full-fledged in a bank with a gun, robbing for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I'm sorry. The more we do these kind of stories, the more I am totally content being the rich auntie that can go to Aruba on the drop of a dime. Y'all can get all kids over there. Good luck with that. Keep it locked, because coming up next, find out what we would do in sticky situations, and later find out which NBA player has been added to the list of house burglary victims in Los Angeles. It's really getting common. It's really sad. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. Soulmates, have y'all ever thought about how you'd handle yourselves if you were placed in the middle of an unexpected situation? Well, we'd like you to chime in a fun segment, hashtag WWYD. What would you do? Please chime in on the chat. We want to read your answers. An Atlanta woman caught her man dining with another chick at a steakhouse, and all hell broke loose. In the video, you can see the woman grilling the man, and next thing you know, she throws a plate at him before storming off. All right, y'all, what would you do if you caught your significant other cheating, Al?
I'm embarrassed to say this. This has happened to me, and I lost it, and I just beat everybody's ass. I lost it, and I'm usually the most sound-minded, easygoing person, but I it was something that I felt. It was the how it happened, and I lost it. And I'm sorry for the person who got caught out there with it, but you got a stray bullet, and I apologize.
Was you on that liquor?
No, that's the
that's a different kind of owl.
Was after a happy hour. I met him. Though. It was after a happy hour, though. It
that L ain't this L. That L is not this L.
No, I met that L.
Hey, okay. Armand, what would you do?
Honestly, I would love to say I would be the bigger person, but I would crash out like that too. Because here's the thing, I'm a Gemini too, and you cannot play with my feelings like that. And then embarrass me like that. So
yeah, that was the
biggest
thing.
To crash out. And I would not want to. You know what I mean? But I feel like I would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, as calm as I am for the most part in relationships, I've done this before one time, and I should have been arrested for what I did.
Not the panel to ask, right?
There was no namaste. There was no bigger person. I was like, oh, that's what we're doing? That's what we're doing?
Exactly.
The girl had just left, but I smelt her on him. I could smell her on him. She just got out of the door, and I had the key, and he had proposed to me. It was so silly for him to do this. I kept the ring, and it was, you know what? We're going to move on, because I don't want to, I got to check the statute of limitations in California. A prankster has been suspended from a private school after he drenched boaters with milk in a viral stunt. The student posted on social media, "Please stop contacting my school. My school has caught me and I'm facing expulsion. Can't believe you would do this to a minor." Oh, he's giving baby Karen. What would you do if you were one of the boaters? And can you believe his response? Armand, what do you think about this?
See, these are the situations where I get really, really triggered, because I would want to fight that little kid. Like, I would want to hit him, because clearly your parents ain't watching you. You know what I'm saying? So I feel as though he needs his ass whooped for sure. And there's not really much you can do as the voter because you can't catch that kid. So that, it was just really unfortunate that he threw that milk on them. You know, I'm glad that he got expelled from school and then try to play this whole minor thing. So you can tell he's privileged and he manipulates his family and his parents don't. He has no rules or any boundaries. And I think it's very important, you know, for parents out there and not just parents of like little humans, parents of pets as well. Watch your kids and watch your pets, because if they start acting wild, this is why people be wanting to slap them, you know, because I cannot stand going to a person's house who just lets their dogs and cats jump all over me or let their kids jump all over me and act all crazy. And there's no rules. And I'll be wanting to backhand that little thing. And that's I can't.
So I feel like we had a nerve with this story.
Yeah, that stresses me out.
Al, what would you do if you were the person that the little kid got milk all over?
Let me tell you something. So this is when I get strategic. Like, this is when the of me really comes out. So for me, I would have, you know, obviously after we tracked him down, I would have filed a police report. I would have made sure he got arrested. He would have to pay all of us for our clothes. He would have to pay all of us for the food that he ruined. He would have to pay me for, if I was a woman, the pocketbooks that he's ruined with that milk on leather. He would have to pay for my trip on that boat ride. He would have had to pay for my hotel stay. I would have run up a tab so high his parents would beat the living skin off his behind. I promise you, this is when I really dig in and make sure that everybody understands that somebody's going to be liable for the mistake that they made that day.
Now, if there was no cameras around and I could manage to get to that little kid, I'm pinching the heck out of him. He's going to pinch him on, you know what I mean? But I got to think that there's cameras everywhere. I'm right with you. I would be so caring on this little kid. I would be like, oh my God, I'm traumatized. I need therapy. I would hit all of those points. Because you're not getting away. I would never just brush this off, because I remember when I was younger, there was little kids used to throw rocks at oncoming cars and roll snowballs down the hill. And people, I remember not in my neighborhood, but hearing of someone dying that way. You got to stop this kind of behavior early on, because this could grab, it's milk today, it could be rocks tomorrow. And it's just, why would you do this to someone? You know what I mean? Like, why you could get this? Why would you do this to someone? This is such a raggedy thing to do. And then for him to turn around and go into Karen mode, yeah, he's a future little.
Well, I think now people are doing this stuff because, you know, everybody is looking to go viral. Everybody is content creators now. And, you know, it's so saturated. What do you do to stand out? You know, and everybody wants to get a million views, and nobody wants to work anymore. Everybody wants to be famous and, you know, get paid off of their social medias for doing what they love.
And congratulations to the school, though, because the school was the first to step up and say, hey, we're not going to allow this young man to represent our school like this. And because he is not representing us, we're going to suspend him. And that's a $20,000 to $25,000 a year school. So congratulations to the school for stepping in the chat and making a wrong right.
Another story that brings a smile to my face. And I'm not a mother. Y'all can have these little future felons. Y'all can have them. An elephant was not here for a tourist truck invading his personal space in South Africa. Take a look. What would you do if you were put in this situation, Al? Can't do the elephant now.
Right. I would probably piss on myself if I was on that. An elephant is known to stomp humans out. You know, it's like 400 deaths a year in India because of because of elephants stomping people out. You know, you got to be very careful on these safaris, because if you come between an elephant and their food supply or their water supply, or if they're mating, they usually will lose it. So I'm hoping that maybe this was the case, because most of the time on the safaris, you don't get attacked, but you gotta be very careful that you don't block their food, their water, or mess with them when they're mating, because they can become very violent.
Ooh, what would you do if you was on that thing, that elephant started just charging at you?
Listen, I mean, to be honest, I would be nervous. I'd be scared. You know, I'd probably be thinking about seeing my life flash before my eyes. But at the end of the day, if we made it out alive, it would be a great story to tell. You know what I mean? It'd be one of those moments that I really appreciated had happened. You know, it's one of those things that you laugh about and, you know, talk about later on. And so I think, you know, while it's crazy, if you make it out, it's a hell of a story.
Oh, it is. My black side would have been trying to run for the hills, thinking I could outrun an elephant. My white side would probably be like, oh my God, let's go closer so I can get a better shot.
Yeah.
No, that's you, Claudia. Claudia always in the middle of some drama wants to get closer.
Animals, yeah. I do.
All the time.
So when y'all see College Hill, I hope they keep this in. We went to a plantation and there was an alligator and everybody ran away from the alligator. Except me.
I'm not playing with no alligator.
I did. I'm fearless though. I'm an Aries. I'm fearless. Like I can be, it's me against a million people. I'm like, I'm good. I'm not afraid of nothing. It's good and bad. Mm-hmm. It's good and bad. I'm going to say
that alligator would have tore you up, Jeff.
Right.
For life. I think I can beat it, though. How fast they run?
Please.
Mm-hmm. All right. Keep it live because coming up next, a Hall of Famer is robbed of cash and jewels. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. All right, the growing trend of burglary tourism is on the rise in Los Angeles. According to reports, the home of Basketball Hall of Famer Paul Pierce was burglarized last week after the smooth criminals ran off with more than $100,000 in cash, luxury watches, and a stolen safe. Alan Armand, I done left LA 5 years ago, but what is going on in the city of angels? Al, what do you think?
Well, you know what they're trying to say, the police are trying to say, is that it's this growing trend of burglary tourists. It's called burglary tourism, where these individuals are flying into Los Angeles and they're robbing from the wealthy in the wealthy neighborhoods, and they're coming from South America. That's what the LAPD are saying. And then I did read in the comments, some people were trying to say it sounded like an insurance fraud thing, but I just wanted to let people know he made a lot of money in the NBA and he's one of the wealthiest retired players. He made in excess of like close to $300 million. So I don't think that it was insurance fraud, but I am very, very concerned about this thing called burglary tourism.
Yeah, Paul Pierce was very successful with the Boston Celtics, my favorite team. I remember he was stabbed in the chest back in the day, and he came back from that. He is a fantastic player, and his nickname is The Truth. So I'm going to say The Truth is not lying about, you know, I don't think this is a scam. I think it's very common in LA right now. Armand, what do you think about this?
I don't know. I just feel like, you know, I think that, I don't know. I just feel like at this point, like all these celebrities are always getting robbed in these mansions, these nice homes in these nice areas. So it's clearly inside jobs to me, because I just feel like it happens to almost all of them. Like everyone's always getting robbed in like Hollywood. And so for me, I'm just like, maybe it's the people that you have around you that are setting you up to get robbed. I don't even know regular people that get robbed this much and without the protection. You know, every time I go into the hills and stuff, there's a bunch of gates and there's security. There's all these checkpoints that you have to go through. So I'm trying to figure out, how are people getting into these people's homes?
I have some friends out. One of my friends, a pretty big comedian out there in the Valley, and he was robbed and he was really freaking out about it because he had all the things in place. I do think sometimes when you're in not in a gated community, but like in a neighborhood, right? That's a nice neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And everyone knows a celebrity in that neighborhood, right?
Right.
Like I'm no A, B, or C lister, my damn self, but everyone in this neighborhood knows that Claudia Jordan from Dealing with or Fox Hill lives right there.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think you are a target sometimes. People may watch you. And I think it's very easy for it to not be inside. I mean, it could be an inside job as well. But I feel like I'm definitely the most known person in my neighborhood. And I just feel like when you have someone like a Paul Pierce, an NBA player, he's probably got way better cars and jewelry. Probably people see it. I don't know. People could tell their friends, hey, you know, Paul Pierce lives down the street. I don't know. Mm. You are right. I do hear a lot about celebs getting robbed. And I'm like, what alarm company do you have, too? I do think the same way, too. It could be inside job. It could be a little raggedy neighbors that is hating on you. I don't know. But
it probably could be the neighbor's friend, because I feel like, you know, if you're successful, you probably, you know, typically might live around other successful people.
Yes.
So I don't see them necessarily doing it, but maybe
can
their friends and
friend?
Family. Yeah, their
right?
friends and family probably aren't as successful. So they probably doing it.
And what about, something else to think about, what about housekeepers? Why couldn't a housekeeper, they know where everything is, right? A housekeeper can say, maybe they don't do it, but they're like, Hey, you know, they keep their safe over here. They know
Realtors is some T2 Al. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. But you know, they usually make money though. They're selling
the housekeepers?
No, the realtors.
Oh, the real oh yeah, realtors and builders. Builders also, like they know where. Anyways, that's a whole nother story. All right, and feel good news. It's been reported that Nicki Minaj has now overtaken Jay-Z as the sixth longest charting rapper of all time on the Billboard charts. That is huge news. What are your thoughts on another historic moment for Nicki? We'll go to you first, Armand.
I mean, like her or love her or hate her, Nicki Minaj is continuously showing you why she is the queen of rap and, you know, undisputed. And there's really nothing much to say. Like, she doesn't need a bunch of, you know, pretty visuals. She doesn't need all the bells and the whistles. She just puts in the work and she's built a fan base and the people love her. So, and the music speaks for itself. So shout out to her.
All right, Al, what do you think?
I just feel like what an amazing or what an appropriate time for it to happen through, you know, during Women's History Month. She's making women history. And she's, like I said, I've said this before, I will put her in the top five best rappers of all time, men and women. And look, she finally is coming and taking that spot. I love the fact that she's gracing the same spaces of a Drake, of an Eminem, a Lil Wayne, a Future. And now she's bumped Jay-Z down one to take the number five spot. Congratulations, Nicki, and all the best moving forward.
Absolutely. This is humongous news. And I think it's a huge accomplishment for women in hip hop. Women in hip hop in general have been just taking over space in the last few years. You don't really hear much about the men lately, but now to hear Nicki Minaj has knocked down, like has overcome one of the, we all know it's not debatable that Jay-Z is one of the top rappers of all time. So for her to kind of get in that spot, that's a big deal. Congratulations to Nicki Minaj. All right, before we go, let me get your thoughts on this message. Y'all apologize, even if you don't feel like you did anything wrong. Let's start with you, Al.
Of course you're going to start with me.
It's in the script.
Of course you're going to start with me.
It's in the script, y'all. Ain't me being shady.
Because of the apology tour I've been on in the last year. You know what? I got to be 110% honest. It's very difficult for me to do when I think I haven't done anything wrong. And I had this conversation with my therapist, and my therapist said the thing that you need to know about the act of apologizing and that is that it has nothing to do about your feelings. And I was like, a light bulb went off in my head. And I was like, really? But I feel it. And he was like, no, the act of apologizing is an other-oriented behavior, which means it has nothing to do with your feelings. You are addressing the feeling that you have caused in someone else. And so I had to sit on that for a minute because, you know, when you apologize, it's like, what am I apologizing for in a lot of cases? You know, I didn't do anything or I was responding to something. And then, you know, the therapist said, you have to understand that what's the goal? You know, is the goal to stand on opposite sides of the room or is the goal to repair and fix? Because in relationships and in marriages, apologies really make it more resilient and secure. So in this work environment, when I had to run in with Armand, I was like, I knew what I was trying to say. Armand even knew what I was trying to say, but the way people interpreted it was not good. So it was about me taking myself outside of myself and thinking about what I said and what I did that offended other people and could possibly had offended him. And if I wanted to work in a harmonious environment with him, apology was the way to gain that resilience and security back. And so I'm learning, and I did, and I apologize.
All right, Armand, what do you think about this? Do you?
I think, yeah, it just depends on, you know, if I want to sever the relationship or if the person is valuable to me, because if I don't care about you or if I don't care to have a relationship with you, I'm not apologizing for something that I know I didn't do. But in a sense where, you know, I care to, whether it's work or, you know, relationship wise, yeah, I will apologize because it takes no sweat off of my back if it made you feel some type of way. That's kind of like how we had the situation the first week I was here with you. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the sexual assault stuff and you didn't like it. You felt some kind of way about it, Claudia. That's why I was like, you know what? I didn't really see what I did wrong there, but because it made you feel a way, it took nothing from me to apologize to you because mm-hmm. I'd rather have that piece and you know that, hey, I didn't mean anything by it than to try to be like, I didn't do anything. Why are you overreacting? No, you know what? It made you feel away. My bad. You know
yeah,
what
but
I mean?
I appreciate you doing that because I wasn't actually mad at you. I felt like I wasn't hurt by you. You were new. You didn't know the backstory. So I appreciate, I felt like that was okay. When someone apologizes for something that I feel like they didn't do, I do see the value in that. Like, wow, I don't think you didn't. I didn't think you did that wrong to me. That I wasn't upset with you about that. So I was like, wow, okay. You know, that shows that there's some willingness to kind of make the environment a certain way. So I did appreciate that. And I did tell you that off camera. Mm-hmm. I will say this. When people apologize, when people refuse to apologize for things that they know they hurt you about, you just got to know what box to put them in. And as far as me apologizing for things that I feel like I didn't do wrong, probably not. No, I'd rather have a conversation with you to get some kind of clarity. I like to know the why.
I like to know the why.
Like, what made you think that? On both ends, like, what made you say that and what made you think that? I feel like that is a lot more valuable, because I feel like some people just say sorry just to like kind of BS cover it up. Like, yeah, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Get over it. Or I apologize. Why are you still mad? But if I don't get to the why and why, what made you do that, or what the action was behind that, I'm not ever really going to understand you. I always want greater understanding of a person's thought process. And that's what means the most to me. And it gets very frustrating, because a lot of people think, well, I apologize, and that's really all it is. And apology, it's easy to say, I'm sorry, and I made it. But really getting into what really made you think that way, to me, that is very valuable. And I think that can really make you get close to a person, my opinion. All right, we have last question. We have a last little thing we're going to get into. DDG revealed that Sexy Red is one of the top five rappers of all time. Do you agree, Armon Wiggins? My apologies. My apologies. I'm supposed to go to Al first on this.
Yeah, No, you're not. You do not have to.
I apologize.
Al, go ahead, Al.
You guys. Oh, I don't view her as a rapper, like, of all times. I view her as a great entertainer. I feel like her beats are amazing. I will get up every time I hear the songs that resonate with me. But I don't look at Sexy Red, and this is no discredit to you, my beautiful queen. You just came into the game, and there are so many other women that I would rank higher as the greatest of all.
Okay,
time.
Let's give Armand these last 20 seconds. Armand, Sexy Red.
Sexy Red is fire. Sexy Red is waking up the street. Sexy Red has been able to, you know, bridge the gap between gay, straight, male, female listeners. Everybody loves Sexy Red. You have a good time listening to her. She totally understands her audience, and I think she's doing her thing. So shout out to Sexy Red.
Top five
greatest
rappers of
all time, though?
No, she knows she's not the top five greatest rappers of all time.
Okay, cool.
Okay, speed of time. We gotta go. I wanna thank my co-hosts Al Reynolds and Armand Wiggins for joining me tonight. Thanks for watching us on YouTube. Stay tuned for Paging Dr. Shonda. We'll see you tomorrow. Hey, Sexy Red, top five.
All right, everybody.
Bye, y'all.